Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It'd be nice to have a pro
throw.
It would be nice to have a pro
throw.
It would be nice to have a pro
throw.
It would be nice to have a pro
throw.
It would be nice to have a pro
throw.
It would be nice to have a pro
throw.
It would be nice to have a pro
throw.
It would be nice to have a pro
throw
from your mom.
The happy hour.
Hour
is on the air. Nailed it. You guys nailed it. That was a great job.
Hey, don't forget, friends, that our movie club selection, a wonderful comedy classic from an excellent decade, the 1970s. Josh was the one that picked this, so don't be playing the old card with me.
I did.
I'm Josh.
The Bad News Bears.
HBO Max.
HBO Max.
I'm watching it tonight when I purposely try to miss some of that god-awful football game that's being delivered to our televisions by Amazon Prime.
Oh, the Cowboys and Texans are playing tonight?
Wow. No, that's on noon. That's at noon on a Sunday.
And thankfully not here.
Thankfully not here. Dallas is on Thursday Night Football in 3 weeks, though. And I thought we were going to do weighing nachos, but apparently Nebraska plays basketball, and Jack and Shape want to watch that. Dumb.
Speaking of Nebraska basketball, Robin Washit, who normally joins us in the 3 o'clock
That's
hour,
true.
Had to push things back. He will join us here at about 15 minutes, 20 minutes or so here on the program. If you missed it, the big news of the day, according to Dan Wetzel, Tony White, defensive coordinator at Syracuse, is the choice by Matt Rhule to head up Nebraska's defensive efforts. White, who previously, last three seasons, was at Syracuse. Before that, he spent 2 years at Arizona State, one of them as the defensive coordinator, one as the defensive pass game coordinator. But he is a longtime disciple of, I got to double check. I got to make sure I have the, where is it at? Oh, I just,
the
Rocky 3-3-5 Long. I'm sorry.
Guys.
Rocky
yeah,
Long. Yeah. Yeah.
At San Diego State.
Actually, no. Joe Lee Dunn is the inventor of the 3-3-5. And then he also worked with Rocky Long as well. So he's a disciple of the 3-3-5 defense,
mm-hmm.
which is three linemen. It's a one gap system. They usually play head up on the man in front of them. So usually the nose tackle will play right on the nose, and either of the other two defensive linemen will play heads up on the tackles. Then you stack the three linebackers directly behind them, and of course you have five defensive backs. He is a disciple of that system. That system run at Syracuse, and we had these numbers earlier. We'll share them again. Syracuse last year in scoring defense was 35th in the nation at 22.7 points per game. That's a decrease of over 10 points from his first defense in 2020. The run defense, they gave up 3.8 yards a carry, which is 42nd in the country this past season. In pass defense, and I always like to look at yards per attempt, pass defense, they were 23rd. At 6.4 yards per attempt. So in total defense,
man, that's good.
It was 4.9 yards per play. That's 21st in the country. And each year you saw incremental improvement from the Syracuse Orange. This was under Tony White as defensive coordinator. He also, when he was at Arizona State, when he was at San Diego State was kind of his first real big break. He spent a year at New Mexico's linebackers coach. But at San Diego State, he also was recruiting coordinator. So he joins Some of the other guys on this staff who also have recruiting coordinator experience, you might be asking, well, why do you need so many recruiting coordinators? Obviously, Matt Rhule is leaning heavily into guys who have, you know, remember what he said. He wanted young, energetic guys who are going to be aggressive out on the recruiting trail. Well, Tony White's a relatively young coach. He's only 43 years old. And he, like a couple of other members of this staff, have been recruiting coordinators in the past.
That really has stood out over the last week and a half. That's really stood out.
So this would seem to fit, even though Tony White does not have any previous experience with Matt Rhule that we know of. There was a chance that he may have, you know, crossed paths with him when he was a player at UCLA.
Yeah, our wires got crossed earlier. His last year at UCLA, White's, that is, was 2000. Matt Rhule coached there in 2001. So they didn't overlap, at least at that time. But yeah, so don't know exactly, you know, where it was.
So that's the latest hire. Initially, I don't know about you, Josh. I was swarmed with negative responses to the hire. Email, text,
comments,
comments on the YouTube stream.
Yeah.
You know, notifications on Twitter, JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. It seems like maybe it's settled down just a little bit, but just like with everything else, we're going to have to figure this out over time. Should be noted, the 335 is what Rhule used at Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a defense he is familiar with. He likes it. It worked for him. And now you bring in someone who is younger, has had experience with the defense, coached under the people who designed it, so he knows it really well, and showed incremental progress at Syracuse.
I talked to somebody earlier today, and I'm going to try to tamp down maybe how over the top this could sound, but the comparison that was made to me was that this could be Nebraska's equivalent of what Dave Aranda did at Wisconsin, and said that the argument essentially, so it doesn't sound so ridiculous or over the top, is that White got way more out of a lesser group of players than anyone could justifiably assume to get at a school like a Syracuse. And, I mean, that was kind of, I guess, what I noticed when you were reading off some of those numbers earlier was, wow, for a school like a Syracuse, who is, I mean, they've had a couple good years under Dino Babers, you know, 2017 or 2018, I think a 10-3 year. This year they had a solid bounce back season. But for the most part, I mean, it's been a pretty downtrodden program. For him to have that type of success there, you know, what could you do with, in theory, a better group of recruits, a higher ceiling at a program like in Nebraska, et cetera, et cetera. Tomorrow we're going to have on Brandon Huffman from 24/7 Sports. He has known White for at least 15 years. And I look forward to having him on, and we can find out a little bit more, you know, about what this guy was able to do. It seems like, John, it's one of those hires where, because a lot of folks around here didn't know who he was, that it was, you know, immediately it was, oh my gosh, this guy sucks. I think that they see 335 and there's this equivalent of, like, that's not going to work in the Big Ten. I know a lot of the comments that I got today were another non-Big Ten hire, you know, and that really is worrying people. But it seems like those that are kind of in the industry or in coaching circles or are covering the sport, it seems like they view this as like a really good get. I haven't read Sam McEwen's story just yet for the World Herald, but the headline alone is, system and recruiting skill make Tony White good fit for Nebraska's DC job. So I plan on checking that out at some point over the next 24 hours before the show tomorrow.
I've been, you know, in as much as we can during breaks, because it's hard to do, but doing a little more research on White. And I joked about it earlier, saying that, well, maybe they'll run the 2-3 zone. You know, Jim Boeheim famously at Syracuse has been running 2-3 zone forever. Well, here's an excerpt from a story going back to when White was first hired at Syracuse. Before deciding to bring in White to install the 3-3-5 defense this season, Babers, Dino Babers, the head coach at Syracuse, consulted Jim Boeheim, Syracuse's men's basketball coach.
Nice.
Like the Orange's 2-3 zone, Baber sees the 3-3-5 as a defense that can give Syracuse an edge because teams have to plan for its unpredictability. Quote, if it can be as much of a nuisance as the 2-3 zone defense is for our basketball team, then I think it will be, have been a good decision for us, Baber said. We'll have to see. I thought that was a funny little anecdote.
Yeah, absolutely.
From the story. So, you know, again, we'll have to find out more. And we don't know it, when or it, well, he will, but when Matt Rhule will speak again. We assume, based on previous timelines of previous Husker coaches, that the next opportunity to hear from them would be at the post-signing day press conference, and the early signing day isn't until the 21st. So we still have about 2 more weeks before that. Maybe there will be something prior to that once the official announcements have been made on all of the staff members. We really don't know how they're going to work that, but I would presume at some point within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we will hear again from Matt Rhule, and I'm sure a lot of questions will be asked about this. I'm sure a lot of questions will be asked about Donovan Raiola.
Oh,
you know what's funny? What's funny is we haven't talked much about Satterfield. We haven't talked about much about the offensive coordinator.
No, because he was what? He was the first hire, right? That was the first one that came down.
He was the first hire.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things that we can examine.
And remember, John, his hire, it's interesting because it's kind of the opposite of the Tony White hire. The Tony White hire, and we've mentioned this a couple of times today, the fans of Syracuse are really bummed. They're really bummed to lose this guy because of what he was able to do. Whereas the South Carolina fans were very happy to see Satterfield go. And does that mean positive or negative for sure either way? Absolutely not. But I know I pay attention to it. You know, when my favorite team hires a coach, I want to know what the fans think of him, just because they're the ones who have been watching him up close for a lot longer than I have. So South Carolina fans, they were happy to see their guy go. That said, obviously, South Carolina put together really good offensive performances in the last two games to finish up their season. But Syracuse fans very upset to see their coach go, given how they performed in recent years.
Wish we had more time to unpack this, because this is what I had intended to do, but we didn't know that there was going to be a defensive coordinator hired today. But there was something that Steve Sipple said on the program yesterday that I caught, that I thought was interesting, and that is that he doesn't believe that there's going to be a lot of patience early on for Matt Rhule in terms of what happens in year one.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is going to be something where the fans are going to be expecting a lot more early. I put out a poll question on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. It's Matt Rhule's pattern. Year one has been brutal. 2-10 at Temple, 1-11 at Baylor. But then they make the big jump to 500 level in year two. 6-6 at Temple, 7-6 at Baylor. Of course, that 7-6 includes a bowl game, because they were bowl eligible. And then in year three at Temple, he went 10-4. And at Baylor, he went 11-3. So I asked the question, are you good with this for Nebraska? Or does the portal and NIL and the Huskers' 6 losing seasons streak accelerate your expectations? And the options we left you with, and this poll will be up for another day, so you'll have plenty of time to vote if you haven't had a chance to do so already. You're cool with the Rhule pattern. It needs to happen by year two. No excuse, bowl in year one, or it'll take longer than 3 years. So far, 36% are cool with the Rhule pattern. We have a very split vote, three-way vote. 36% are cool with the Rhule pattern. 30% say no excuse, so they're in with the whoever's been emailing SIP. Bowl in year one. 27% say it needs to happen by year two. Only 7% are ultra patient and say it'll take longer than 3 years. So it would seem like it's pretty evenly split across the 3 years. My read on the situation, and I said as much yesterday when we talked with Sip, the fact that Nebraska emphasized builder, program builder,
yep,
developer,
yep,
and the fact that he was given an 8-year contract would seem to tell me that Trev Alberts would be perfectly fine with the exact same thing happening at Nebraska that happened at Temple and Baylor. Maybe I'm reading him wrong, but I sense that Trev Alberts has the mindset of more patience, and that year one isn't this end-all, be-all, man, we've got to end this six-year losing streak, and we got to get to a bowl game.
Bingo.
Right now.
Bingo.
That's my read.
Bingo, and I think it's going to come down to just like seeing the incremental progress. You know, the problem with the Frost era, it's not so much that they didn't make a bowl game in their first three seasons. It's that they seemingly regressed in their first three seasons. You know, I maintain that the first Scott Frost team might be the best Scott Frost team of the entire era. Certainly the best of the first 3 years. The second team was horrible. The COVID season was horrible. The first season, at least they got better as the year went along. If they don't make a bowl in year one, I know I'm not going to throw a fit. You want to just see the incremental progress, you know, in year two. You want to see them look like a well-coached football team. If they lose games, you want it to be because, like, oh, they're not good enough that day, and they're a building team. Like, they didn't have a whole lot of those losses as this year went along. You know, I mean, in a way, John, that was one of the redeeming qualities of the Purdue loss. They didn't have anything goofy and weird. They just got beat. You know, Purdue was the better team. They won the division this year. Purdue's a better program right now than Nebraska.
Yeah.
So that loss was like, it made sense. But some of the losses, of course, that they have, I mean, like the Georgia Southern loss, is it because they're a better program? I mean, look, maybe they are a better program because Nebraska's been horrible. But that was game two for a brand new coaching staff. So if Nebraska loses games in years one and years two, and it's because they're losing to teams or programs that are just better, but it's not because, oh my gosh, Nebraska's up by 10 and they shot themselves in the foot a bunch of times and they gave the game away, like that's when it becomes a problem. But ultimately, I think that the way that you just kind of laid out the poll and the split amongst the fan base, I just think a lot of it's going to come down to how people view this individually. Chad says on YouTube, nah, get us to a bowl in year one, please. And I think that you're going to have a lot of people that are like, I want to see a bowl immediately. And then you're going to have some that are like, I just want to see some growth. But I would also add this one quick thing before we talk to Robin. It's so easy on Thursday, December 8th, to say, yep, if they don't make a bowl in year one, that's okay. It's another to have to go through the slog of a season where they don't make a bowl again. You know, it's easy to say in December when they're not playing. It's a lot harder when it's October and they're 3-4. So I wouldn't say that's impatience. I would just say that that's, at a certain point, you want to see them start to win.
Right. No, that is true. And that's the unfortunate thing about a six-year losing string where you were promised, oh, it's getting better, it's getting better, it's getting better, and you had the so-called chosen one at the helm, it is really shortened the patience of Nebraska fans. It really has.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I do. I really do. But I think it requires an understanding of just how far this has fallen and what it takes to win at a consistent level. If you want to do it right, you're not just going to throw a building up to throw a building up. You're going to lay the foundation. You're going to pour the concrete. You're going to make sure it's got rebar, and you're going to make sure you got a good blueprint, and you're going to do all the little details. And sometimes that takes time. A lot of times that takes time.
Yeah.
And that's why I would say, I'll tell you this right now. If I could sign that contract right now, if anybody could sign that contract right now, if they don't grab that pen and sign it, if they don't have a pen, if they don't slit their wrists and just draw it out in blood, you're an idiot. Seriously, you're an idiot.
Yeah, 10 wins, 11 wins in year three for a program that hasn't had a winning season since 2016, that hasn't had a double-digit win season, John, since 2012.
Right. You're an idiot if you don't believe in that.
Real quick.
You're an idiot if you don't believe in that.
Mazie Daniel says, my impatience comes primarily from not wanting to listen to whiny fans. Obviously, I want to get to 6 in year 1, but I won't panic if we don't. I just might have to delete Twitter from my phone, though. It's funny, because I understand that viewpoint entirely of, yeah, a bowl in year one would be a lot better just because then you wouldn't have to deal with the discourse. But, you know, I think Trev is going to do a good job at ignoring that noise. You know, he's not going to care if people are whiny on Twitter because Nebraska went 5-7 in the first season.
Well, I can tell you this right now. My expectations for year one are, let's just see what happens. I'm not putting a bowl game on it.
Absolutely not.
And I'm not going to, you know, I would have to see a lot of dysfunction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before I would say, oh, man, this is not going to go well.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.